Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emuna. First of all, just a housekeeping note, we're off next week. The summer may be a little bit erratic. If you want to follow the schedule, be sure to join the WhatsApp group at rabbiefremgoldberg.org/WhatsApp. You can join all the WhatsApp groups. We're off next week, then we're back on for a little while, and then off a few weeks in August. So just make that note. And as always, we begin with gratitude. Thank you to our generous sponsors, our series sponsors, Drs. Avi and Bella Morgan. In memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galvin, in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Chanzer, and in honor of all of our holy, precious IDF soldiers, they should be safe while they are protecting Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. The series is also sponsored anonymously in memory of the fallen soldiers and alumni of Bnei David Mechina Yeshiva Neili. This week, our learning is for Shlema of Staff Sergeant David Kastner, who was seriously wounded in Gaza and struggling with recovery. His injuries deeply affected his family, who remained by his side, and we daven for his healing. He was in Kathmandu preparing on October 7th to trek Mount Everest, and he returned that same day to fight and was injured, and we daven for a speedy recovery. Other soldiers, thank you, who are still in need of our tefillos as well. Ariel ben Eti, Metana ben Sivya, Yar ben Liad, ben Yaya Chevron ben Rivitadov, ben Zivaliam ben Rivital, Itam Dov ben Tova, Laza ben Orana, Aviyah Dechaim ben Noah, Nava ben Dana, Yehuda Tzvi ben Rachel Natlai. Today's shiur is also sponsored by Michelle Diamond, as are the donuts. Shiur is a lot less fattening than the donuts, but they're also good. And take one and make a bracha in memory of our beloved Chaim Diamond on his fifth yahrzeit. And also, as we spoke about this past Shabbos, the Diamonds courageously share their journey and the school of fun that they opened in gratitude to Hashem. That Chaim started, helps defray the cost of fertility treatments for those who need. If anyone is in need of skula, don't hesitate to let us know. You can speak to me or to Michelle. If anyone can help skula, we greatly appreciate it. This morning's shiur also sponsored by Shmuel and Esther Shaiwitz, Lenishmas, his father Yaakov Yudim and Gedalia, in Tzchus of Ruach Shlema for her mother Batsheva, Batsbulma Rivka, anonymously in the Tzchus of Ruach Shlema for Chana Miriam Bas Esther Fega, member of our community, undergoing a very serious surgery right now as we're learning. So please have her in mind and have her in mind in Tehillim following. Shir Chana Miriam Bas Esther Fega, Mirtz Hashem will hear good news. Hashem will guide the hand of the surgeon to success. And anonymously, in honor of Rina's 20th birthday, Rina, wherever you are, whoever you are, happy birthday, 20th birthday. Very, very good. Okay, I mentioned Oshir next week. With that, we begin with some emails, and then we'll dive back into our text, our learning together. Okay, I thought I was excited. Yocheved is in New York getting her son off to camp. I thought I could say whatever I want this week. But I see she sent some supervision and spies. Woke up early. Hey girls, thanks for coming. It's great to have you. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, this was an Emuna email from last week. I felt bad. Remember last week I had to pay two shiva calls, went to New York. So I moved the shiur from Wednesday to Thursday. I have an Emuna story. I came to America from London to visit all my friends from seminar. I was in New York for staff. Second half, I came to Florida. I didn't know, but apparently you can't do anything without a car in Florida because things are quite far from each other. So when my friend asked me if we could rent one, I said, on one condition, that we go to one of Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg's shiurim in person. This morning we had a plan to come to Living with Emuna and drove from Hollywood to Boca only to be told shiur was canceled and postponed till tomorrow. This was last week. I'm so sorry. I don't know why that was happened, but it did. As much as I was annoyed, I know Hashem does absolutely every single thing with meaning. And the only thing I could do was embrace my place. Just another reminder that everything that happens from Hashem, and even during the annoying times, it's very important to remember that. If Rav Ephraim does ever want to come give a shiur in person in London, I would not be opposed. Okay. I feel very bad. I'm so sorry. Come back, visit again. Hopefully we'll meet in Yerushalayim, but I love the attitude. Things work out the way they do for a reason. You are where you're meant to be. Embrace your place. And even when there's disappointment and frustration. I mentioned, this is not an Emuna email, but Ki'ilu, she wrote one. I'm writing it for her. But Yocheved took Shai up to New York to get him off to camp. Baruch Hashem. They were supposed to fly on Monday night, but there were weather issues in New York. So that flight was canceled. So they were put on a flight early yesterday morning. And they left at 6 a.m. only to get in the airport. And there was a problem when the person changed their ticket to the morning, they did it incorrectly. So they couldn't get on that flight and they put them on the next flight. They were able to ultimately get there. And I'm so proud to tell you that my wife all along was just go with the flow. Whatever happens, there's always a plan. We'll figure it out. Not a big deal. And I think that we all see, hopefully we're living the peros, we're living the outcome of living this life and this lifestyle of living with Emuna, not just a shir that we attend once a week, but a glasses with which we see the world, the muscles that we work out, so we're ready to do the heavy lifting when life doesn't go our way. Small, insignificant things, and bigger disappointments, all being prepared and ready because we've been working out. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, spotted this on a green pasture, literally, in a purple lavender field in the Hamptons. You'll love this picture. This is a purple lavender. This is a real picture somebody took in the Hamptons. Beautiful. What are these yellow flowers called? Daffodils? Are they daffodils? Anyway, here's a sign in the middle of the field that says, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. So, I don't know. Someone in the Hamptons lives listening to Living with Emuna. And I really enjoyed this. Okay. So, thank you for that. Thank you for that sighting. Okay, this is a crazy story. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, I want to share an incredible Emuna story with you that my son and I experienced recently. I thought you might appreciate it. Feel free to read it out loud, without our names, of course. I live in Israel and recently flew to New York for my son's graduation to spend Shavuos together with my other son and family. We were blessed with 2 weeks together and wanted to make the most of every minute. We decided to spend one Sunday at a Mets game. Parentheses, please forgive us. I know you're a Yankees fan. Could be unforgivable. Red Sox would be unforgivable. Mets is forgivable. After we bought the tickets, my son realized he had completely forgotten that a very close friend's wedding was that evening in Lakewood. He didn't want to disappoint his friend, but he also didn't want to give up a special day together. So he came up with a plan. He would wear his suit to the game. We'd arrive early, grab some kosher hot dogs, watch as much of the game as possible. He'd leave early to get back to his apartment near YU, where he's supposed to catch a ride to the wedding in Lakewood. I was disappointed we had to cut our day short, but I also was touched that he was trying hard to maximize our time together. When we arrived at City Field, we stopped at one of the three kosher food stands. On a whim, he asked the man behind the counter, by any chance, you know anyone going to Lakewood tonight? The answer was no. But the man suggested we try the other two kosher stands in the stadium, mentioning that one even hosted a Mincha Minyan, might have people traveling to Lakewood. Let's just pause for one moment to realize the life and the world that we're living. Like when survivors came to America after walking away from the inferno in Eastern Europe, did they picture there would be three kosher stands at the Met game with Mincha Maariv? Like with all the challenges and all the problems, let's not minimize election results last night. Home prices in Florida might be about to go up even higher. We got real problems. But with our real problems, most stadiums across this country, there's now a kosher. When I was a kid, we used to go to a Yankee game every year. And my mother, I hope she's listening, she deserves a lot of credit for this. She would make hot dogs at home, put them in thermoses, bring buns. We had a whole routine after the third inning. We had ice cream, first the ice cream. A couple innings later, she'd put together from the thermos with the buns and the ketchup packets so that we could also experience what it is to have a hot dog at a ball game. That's a Yiddish mother. Anyway, she had her stack of magazines and newspapers to read while we ate hot dogs and enjoyed the game because she could care less what was happening on the field. Today, one stadium, three kosher food stands. You can't find the ride to Lakewood at one. Check out the other two. Back to our story. The answer was no, but the man kindly suggested we try the other two. We searched, no luck. We couldn't even find the third stand. So we went back to our seats and enjoyed part of the game. Later, we decided to make one last attempt. We again asked for directions to the third stand and headed off. At one point, my son said, don't worry. Hashem is with you. Hashem loves you. And you're going to his brother. You're going to find a ride. I just know it. As we're walking, before we even found the third stand, someone suddenly called out my son's name. It was two of his friends from YU. They happened to be in the unusual section because they had been selected to participate in one of the on-field contests between innings. After catching up for a moment, my son casually asked one of them if he was returning to YU after the game. He said, no, I'm driving home to Philadelphia. He said, is Lakewood on the way? Yeah, it's about half an hour out of the way. Any chance you'd be willing to take me to Lakewood? He paused for a second. I jokingly offered him free hot dogs and even offered him money. But after thinking for just a moment, he smiled and he said, sure. And he refused to take a dime. We were overjoyed. Instead of leaving early, he and I were able to stay for the entire game, but Hashem wasn't finished. After sitting back down, we watched as my son's friend participated in the contest on the field. He won, and the name of the contest flashed across the giant screen in front of us. The name of the contest, Designated Driver. Is that unbelievable? What a story. My son and I looked at each other and started screaming. It felt like such an unmistakable wink from Hashem, a beautiful confirmation. Everything had been orchestrated carefully from above. The very person who unexpectedly agreed to drive him safely had just won the designated driver contest. One of those moments where Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis felt so tangible, personal. Baruch Hashem, my son made it safely to the wedding. We enjoyed the entire game. Both walked away with an Emunah lesson we'll never forget. By the way, the Mets won 10-1. That's one, I guess, the few wins they had this year. I've attached a photo of the jumbo screen showing his friend's name and the word designated driver. It's been a treasured reminder for us of Hashem's incredible kindness. Thank you for the chizuk, bringing our family, blah, 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 yada, yada. And here is the great picture of Citi Field, designated driver, and the name of the wonderful person who drove him. Great email, no? That was a good one. This one, another amazing email. We got some good ones today. Every day. A good Erev Shabbos Mor Da'as for Shlita. The past few days have been painful for hundreds and hundreds of people with the tragic loss of Rabbi Jonathan Cohn, a.k.a. Joko. I mentioned him last week, a friend, tragic, tragic, young man, younger than I, battled and struggled with faith. I told you how in an interview he just said, smile. The one thing when asked, what could we all do for you? What could we do in your schus? What could we do in your merit? What can we do in your honor? What can we do for you? He didn't say finish Shas, and he didn't say solve world peace. He said smile. Just smile. We spoke last week about simcha and bringing joy into this world. Just smile. Smile. Just smile. I saw, could be the same author of this email, showed me a Dvar Torah recently, that Asherbara sason v'simcha chasan v'kala. Asherbara, God created sasam v'simcha, happiness and joy, chasan v'kala. I'm giving you a little sheva brachas to you. It's wedding season. So what does it mean? God created happiness and joy, he created chasan v'kala? The chasan v'kala need to remember in this bracha, the final bracha, asher bara sasam v'simcha. Hashem created. We create happiness. We choose happiness. Happiness is not an emotion, it's a creation. When we put our mind in the right place, when we think about the right things, when we count our blessings, when we see what's there, not what's missing, then we feel happy. Don't wait for happiness to be the feeling that overcomes you. Make the choice, the decision to be happy. Happiness is a decision, not an emotion. And the people who consider happiness an emotion sit around waiting to be happy. And the people who know that happiness is not an emotion, happiness is a decision, decide to be happy, and then the happiness follows. So Hashem, we make a bracha, asher bara, sasan v'simcha. Hashem, you created, you so to say decided that there would be something called happiness. Chasan v'kala, you also decided there's a chasan v'kala. Chasan v'kala, decide to be happy. Decide to be happy. We've spoken about this. I think one of the most important lessons they should teach in chasan v'kala classes, they should teach to those who've been married for 50, 60, and we have people in our shul who've been married more than one couple, more than 70 years. Whatever amount of years, decades, you've been married, before you walk into that house, put a smile on your face. Doesn't matter what kind of day you've had. After the smile, by the way, you could unload, you could cry, you could lean on a shoulder, you could say the challenges that you have. But that first interaction, leave it all outside. Walk in with a smile. Bring an atmosphere of simcha and energy, of joy and happiness. That's the, forget what you're putting in the fridge and the pantry to feed your children. What we're feeding our family is the energy in the home. And the energy in our home can be. So you'll say, but what do you mean? You saw the election last night in New York, and you see what's happening in the Middle East, and you see what's happening with this, and what happened with that, and what is there to smile about? What is there to smile about? There are three kosher stands at every baseball park. What is there to smile about? What is there to smile about? There's always things to smile about. If you look, if your smile is the result of what's there, you'll always smile. There's always something there. If you smile, you're waiting to smile because of what's not there, then you'll never smile because there'll always be something that's not there. That's a choice. It's a decision. Asher bara. Just like Hashem created it, we create our own happiness. The conversations, the focus, the acknowledgement, the attitude of gratitude, the counting of blessings, the Hashgacha Pratis WhatsApp. There's always something to smile about. Asher bara, sasan v'simcha. God created sasan v'simcha. And what we're telling the chasan and kala is one of your jobs, maybe your first job is asher bara, is create sasam v'simcha. I wrote this article recently about just from my experience, having been a father in a few weddings and a rabbi at many, 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 many weddings, Baruch Hashem, Ken Yerbu. some observations and suggestions. Everyone loved the article. So far, nobody's actually implemented it because I've been to many weddings since. One of the suggestions I made was, you ready for this? It's good that you're sitting down. This is crazy. It's a crazy, radical suggestion I made. While you're walking to the chuppah and while you're under it, smile. Smile. Put a smile on your face. Rabbi Meisher, Rabbi Yaakov, Gedolei Yisrael told their family members, your job under the chuppah is to smile. Sometimes, mamash, you don't know if they're going to a funeral or a wedding. You ever see the way they look? I'm not going to make any of my jokes right now about the comparison, funeral, the whatever. But smile. This is the happiest moment of your life, the first day of the rest of your life. It's the birthday, it's Yom Kippur, it's two halves becoming a whole. Smile. Smile. Okay, the father-in-law, they have to pay for the wedding. I see why they're not smiling. The mother-in-law, I know, they also work, they also pay. I get it. The chassan and kala, okay, you're davening while you're walking down, smile when you get there. You're davening under, smile while you walk down. At some point, make the people there believe that you're happy. Give some like hint, some illusion, some confirmation that this you're actually excited about this. This is a good thing. Smile. Smile. Gedolei Yisrael told their children and grandchildren, Rabbi Arli Butz told me, he heard from Moshe's children, grandchildren, that he told his grandchildren, your job under Zeda, what kavana should I have? Gedolei Yisrael, what kavana? Kabbalah, building world, Tazbika. You know what your kavana, you know what you need to think? Smile. Smile. That's your job. Asher bara sasan v'simcha, chasan v'kala. Chasan v'kala, no, God created, he decided, simcha, you can and should too. Smile before you walk into that house, which you're a chasan v'kala all over again. Every time you walk into a house, you're the chasan v'kala. The Rambam writes, there's no Hebrew word for wife. The Hebrew word for wife is isha, which also happens to mean woman. So there's no Hebrew word for wife. The Hebrew word for wife is woman. Why? Not because she's just woman. Rambam says because you've never won her over that now she's your wife. She's always the woman you're courting and you're trying to win. So the same way in dating, you are careful. Your hygiene, your appearance, your cleanliness, your behavior, your courtesy, your opening a door, everything about the way you behaved while you were trying to win her is the way that you behave for life because you've never landed her. You're always trying to win her. 40, 50, 60, married 70 years, you're still trying to win her over to see if she'll stay with you after 70 years. So she's Isha, she's the woman you're trying to win over. She never becomes the wife that you take for granted. So every time you walk in the home, you're still trying to win. Both are trying to win each other over. Don't look amazing for the rest of the world and for each other look like not amazing. Don't be on your best behavior and nice and kind and charming to the whole world and then for each other, not. Bring our best where it matters most, which is within the home. You didn't know you came for a marriage class. I didn't know either. I was coming to this today. Anyway, all back to the opening sentence. A good night of Shabbos, Mora Da'asra Shlita. So, Rabbi Jonathan Cohn, Olav HaShalom, just passed away. The wound is so still fresh. Joko, such a special, I'm not calling him a young man. I'm calling him a young man because he was younger than I. But what a tragic, tragic loss. So he said, when asked, he said, smile. What could you do for me? Smile. Ivduas Hashem b'simcha. Smile. Be happy. Be grateful. Choose. Make a decision. Just like Hashem created happiness, create it. Back to the email. People were impacted, transformed, and changed forever with one conversation with him. Whether it be in Hafter Middle School, Camp Lavi for so many summers, Shavim for so many years, Camp Masorah, most recent NYU Israel program, with all the yeshivas and NCSY, I'm sure I'm missing others, hundreds and hundreds of young adults were guided, inspired, and loved. The author of the email writes, I went to Shavim in whatever years. He took me under his wing. Meals, Shabbos meals, endless hak. You thought you were his best friend because he made you feel that way. He really cares about every detail. Every January, I tried to make it back to the Holy Land. One year before he got sick, he came to Yerushalayim from Beit Shemesh just to meet me in Mea Sharim. These last two January trips were a different visit. One of visiting him in his house, learning, talking, and connecting. This last one, visiting him in Hadassah in Kerem. He continued to have so much love, curiosity, enthusiasm to what I was up to in my life. You can't fake realness and authenticity, and that was him. True love, kindness, and care for every single person. And now here is the crazy story. Going back, this goes back 15 years, I went to Eretz Yisrael for my yearly January trip. I was in a tough spot for dating. I wanted to start dating. My parents didn't want me to. I decided to go to Israel for clarity and met with Rav Kohn, on one of my last nights. I explained to him that my parents didn't want me to start, but if I did, there would be a girl named Shayna, name changed, who I knew I wanted to start with. The words he next said were very different. He said, "You will know on the plane." I was like, "Huh? You will know on the plane." Then he gave me a bracha and a hug. Now, to be clear, joker, but Jonathan Cohen was an incredibly special man. He was not a Mekubal. He was not a Kabbalist. And he said, "You will know on the plane." Gave him a hug and a bracha and said goodbye. I headed to the airport. We boarded the plane smoothly. Side note, the Jets, big fan, unfortunately, were playing on Motzei Shabbos. In Israel, perfect. I heard at the half they were winning and was pretty happy to say the least. Meanwhile, I had an aisle seat at the time in my life. I would throw up a lot on planes. I needed an aisle seat. A nice middle-aged Orthodox woman was on a pilot trip who was sitting in the middle seat between me and a nice chassid. Asked me to switch. I explained I wish I could, but because of my past, I needed the aisle. She understood and said thanks. Anyway, 9-10 hours go by, we start playing Jewish geography. She asked me if she could ask me a question. I said, "Sure." She said, "Are you dating?" I said, "No, but if I do start, I already have a girl in mind." Next words, she said, "How about," and she said the name of the girl. "How about so-and-so from Miami Beach?" I said, "Excuse me?" She said, goes on and she says, "I know her and her family forever, and I thought that'd be a good idea for you." I was shaking. There were hundreds of people on an El Al flight. I couldn't believe my ears. What are the chances the very person next to me on the plane would be Hashem Shliach? Rabbi Jonathan Cohn Shliach. I said thank you, made some other small talk, and we parted ways. I immediately stepped off the plane, found out the Jets finished the second half to win, and then called Rabbi Jonathan Cohn. I said, "You have Ruach HaKodesh. How did you know?" He immediately played it down with humility and respect and said it was just a feeling he had. We didn't start dating yet, but that Elo we did, and Besoros Torvos from there on out. His positively loved connection, every single person in his life were real. Crazy story of Hashkach and Emun Hashem, forever grateful, not only for his bracha, for his friendship, guidance, support these last 18 years. I'll miss him dearly and hope to make him proud in Shemayim. That's where he was seated, on the aisle next to the woman. 10 hours in, they start. She says, "How about so-and-so," which is exactly the name of who we thought. She sets it up, and they're living happily ever after. Baruch Hashem, an amazing couple and family, and making a big difference in whatever community is so blessed to be able to have them both there. Okay, I have a bunch more, but we have learning to do. Oh, man. And we're taking next week off, which means when I come back, I'm going to have so many more. One more, having to do with Shidduchim, and then we'll dive back in. They're all amazing. Please write them. Not only are they amazing for me, they're great for you to write it. So please continue, and please send them in, even if I can't read them. I want to share a crazy instance of Hashkacha Pratis that happened to me earlier this week. Heads up, it's not your typical feel-good story. You'll have to decide whether or not this is a good ending. I grew up as one of four Jews in my hometown. The other three were my parents and my younger brother. While I went to Reform Sunday school and received a bar mitzvah, I knew very little of Judaism and Torah until I was 24 when I began Yiddishkeit. Baruch Hashem, Baal Tshuva, 5 years. I was zocher to spend 2 years learning Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. When most people think about Baal Tshuva as inherently spiritual, full of emunah and avas Hashem, that was not the case for me. I became religious solely because I wanted the best chance of having a successful marriage and family. Because when I came to accept Hashem was real, Torah was true, I felt I had no other choice to follow mitzvahs, otherwise my life would surely be full of punishment and suffering. Even with my time in yeshiva and a wonderful Rebbe guiding me, I would say my emunah and relationship with Hashem only marginally improved. Last September, I dated a girl for 2 months. I was convinced that I finally found my wife. And she made it clear she felt the same way as me. We dated for 2 months. On the very end of the shidduch, 3 days before we were set to be engaged, things suddenly and unexpectedly fell apart. I tried desperately to save things, but she coldly ended things 5 days later via a phone call. Tough phone call. I was completely distraught. I had no real basis of support around me, and everyone that was involved in the shidduch knew her far better and longer than they knew me, so none of them maintained a relationship with me after. I felt completely abandoned by everyone except for two friends and felt that Hashem was punishing me yet again, taking away the thing I yearned for most. One of the friends that stood by me during this time encouraged me to work on my emunah. So it was then that I started listening to several Emunah Focus podcasts, including yours. Over the past few months, I've worked intensely on my faith in Hashem, in addition to other aspects of my life in which I felt were deficient. That brings me to the Hashkacha I wish to share, the Providence. 2 days ago, I randomly received a notification on my phone that one of these podcasts, which I sporadically consume, had a new episode on the month of Tammuz. For whatever reason, I began listening. In the podcast, it was mentioned this month where people are prone to forget that Hashem is with them and therefore are more likely to break down when challenges and setbacks arise. It was also mentioned that this is a time to forgive others. It helps us gain mercy from Hashem. I'd also previously listened to your recent episode on dropping grudges. Shalom for Charlotte, dropping grudges, just like those incredible parents are able to not have any resentment against the driver of that car, all of us can find a way to drop grudges. While I don't think about her often anymore, I suddenly realized I had not consciously forgiven the girl from last fall. I stopped what I was doing at work and spent the next 30 minutes writing down my grievances with her and as many arguments to forgive her as I could fathom. In the end, I came to the conclusion that not only should I grant her mechila, I owe her a debt of gratitude because all the work I put into myself this year would not have come about if she hadn't broken off our shidduch. Even with the great pain she caused, I can confidently say I'm much happier with who I am today than the man I was when we were together. Almost exactly, 5.5 hours later, I received a text in WhatsApp that this girl got engaged. Admittedly, I'm grappling with jealousy that she not only emerged from her shidduch unscathed while I suffered, but that Hashem thought she more worthy than I to meet her bashur. I'm also having a hard time dealing with the recognition that someone who 7 months ago told me they loved me and couldn't wait to spend eternity together with me found someone she cared for more in such short order. But at the same time, I can't help but smile and feel happy Hashem runs the world. He compelled me to stop and consciously decide I forgive this woman and I'm better off without her than I was with her. And he did all that a few mere hours before her engagement was announced. Did my granting mechila contribute to her ability to move on with her future husband? I don't know. What I'm certain of is that pushing me to finally move on was his way of making it so I wouldn't be broken by the news. This was the ultimate chesed from Hashem, and while I'm still waiting and yearning for my person, my bashert, I know Hashem is watching over me, and I have to believe that one day, soon, I'll be reunited with the woman that Hashem put on this earth to be with. Thank you for reading. If anyone knows a wonderful woman for this amazing Baal Tshuva of 5 years, learned in yeshiva for 2 years, and is able to frame things through the emunah perspective, and that's all I know about him right now, which is the same that you know about him, let me know. Maybe we'll make a wonderful shidduch from here. There are more, but these are some. They're amazing. They're all amazing. And they give us incredible chizuk and strength from the picture in the lush pastures of the Hamptons to the stories of things that work out and don't, to the chizuk we get in learning and seeing others who are able to frame things. Life is so much about framing. That's what Yosef HaTzadik taught us, how to frame. That's what emunah is. Living with emunah, it's not just putting on your frames, your glasses, to see the world a certain way, but it's the way that we frame. We've shared this before. It's actually a modality in psychology, is framing and reframing. That's what we do. The same picture, you have a picture, and that same picture could be beautiful or ugly, could be one you want to hang or one you want to sell in the garage sale, all depending on the frame that you put around it. The frame that you put around it can change the entire way you perceive the picture. That's why there are framing stores and a framing business, and frames matter. And reframing is everything. Yosef HaTzadik, when the brothers come and they're afraid he's going to take revenge and kill them, what he does in that moment is he reframes things. And he says, I can take the same picture. A group of brothers who threw a brother in the pit, wanted to kill him, and ultimately sold him into slavery. That's the picture that you painted. Let's put a different frame around it. Hashem wanted me in Egypt, wanted me to rise to be the viceroy, wanted me to save the economy, wanted me to bail out our family, wanted me to be in this power, in this position. Hashem is the one who did it all and put me here. Same story, same exact picture, but it's a new frame. And it's that capacity to put a different frame around the picture of our life. The picture could be, flight was canceled, they messed me up on the next one they put me on, life is miserable, Hashem doesn't love me, everything is terrible. Or you put a new frame around that picture, that I'm here for a reason. I am where I'm meant to be. I can go in a short Uber from the airport to my children and play with those grandchildren for a few more minutes, and I'll get on the next flight from Fort Lauderdale. You put a different frame around the same picture. And this young man, old man, I have no idea his age, because you know everything I do about him. But he put a new frame around that picture. Instead of, I can't believe it, now she's engaged and I'm not. She was cruel, broke up over the phone. All the friends stayed with her, not me. Now I learned she's engaged. Woe is me. He put a new frame and he says, wow, I'm so much better than I was then. I learned so much. I'm so much happier and prouder with who I am and the man I am now than when I was with her. And I'm so happy that I randomly listened to a shiur that got me to a place to work on myself to actively forgive her. And maybe in that merit is why she broke through. And even if not, I feel better because that's the whole other frame. Chevra, we could put a different frame around the pictures of our lives. The pictures of our lives sometimes are magnificent and beautiful, and it's exactly the scene we'd want to paint at a simcha of a member of our family. They had good news that we got, and we don't need any frame will do. It doesn't even need a frame, and it's such a beautiful picture. And other times, the picture, picture is not on its own so beautiful. And the picture on its own is not so perfect. The picture on its own is not what we would have painted. But you can take an ugly picture to a framing store and say, put a frame on this picture that will make me see it in a different way. Put a frame on this picture that will make me want to proudly hang it in my home. And that's what Emuna is. That's Emuna mission. What frame will you put on the picture of your life? How can you reframe whatever you're going through? It's essentially the same thing I just told you about Simcha. How can you reframe whatever's happening to make the decision, Asher Bara Sason V'Simcha, to make the decision to be happy? It's not an emotion. Emotion's the picture. The frame is what creates the decision. It's a decision to be happy. We are in Shmaisis Ademar. We're learning this beautiful shtickle from the Geri Rosh Hashiva of Shaul Alter. Mitzvah Hashem may come back again this year. Super excited for that possibility. And we're on page 74. Zesh shtickle mo'od amok lahavana mo'od kasha liyishum. See where we are at the top of that page? It says on the top of the page 74. Page on the top of the page 74. Top right says page 74. Zesh shtickle mo'od amok lahavana. This shtickle teira, this little piece, this learning, this lesson, this idea is very deep to understand and very difficult to absorb. But in it is hidden the secret, the foundation of bitachon. What's he talking about? We just learned from the Brisker Rav, Sfasemes from Zeda, Chidusharim, the Baruch HaGever Shivtach B'Hashem, V'Yashem Yivtacho. The more we turn to and trust in Hashem, the more He reveals to us why He's trustworthy. These hugs, these winks, these nods, where you don't have to go out on a limb, and you don't have to exercise to the point of exhaustion how to connect the dots to put that new frame. But Hashem reveals Himself and why things happen the way they do and the way they are. The more we live with Emuna, the more we look and search for Him, the more He winks and nods and hugs back at us. That's very deep, and it's very hard. Zalokal lahasig, kamakol amidos. It's not easy to attain, just like all other character traits. It and they are not easy. They're hard, and they take hard work. Mavur, b'svarim akadeshim, state, it appears in the holy books, if a person were able to perfect themselves, never get angry again, never get jealous again. If we could perfect our character in a day, or a week, or a month, or even a year, and we can perfect ourselves to be worthy for the world to come in fewer years, then He wouldn't leave us here for all this time. The reason, please God, and Mirtz Hashem, we daven, and certainly can't take it for granted, that we merit for longevity, to live here a long time, is because it takes a lifetime to work on ourselves. We are works in progress. That's what I keep telling you, Chevet. A little more patience with me. I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. We're all works in progress. How do we know? Because we're here. And if we were done, we wouldn't be. We're works in progress. If we woke up this morning, if our contract was renewed another day, then we were given more runway to work on ourselves. Work on ourselves. We don't know why those who are gone are gone. In what way were they complete? In what way did Hashem decide they were finished? We don't know, we don't understand, and we shouldn't get lost in trying to, because their questions will never have answers to. But what we do know is, if we still have runway in front of us, there's work to be done. There's work to be done. I don't care how old you are. My Mechutin's grandmother just passed away, 104 years old. Baruch Hashem. At 103, she's still working. Not done. Still work to be done. Imagine a 104-year-old says, I'm working on myself. Working on myself. I'm working on myself. Yeah. If I'm still alive and still breathing and still interacting with others, with Hashem and with myself, then there's still work to be done. Still work to be done. Ki le'ezet tzorach tzrichel nahamten shanam rabbas ba'olam hazeh. Mefshel agyeh tekev la'tov ha'gadol amidi ba'olam haba. Because if we could have perfected ourselves in one day, then why would we need to spend another 70, 80, 90 years in this world? I'm done. Perfect. I'm ready to hand in the test. I finished it. And now, put me in the world to come. Because our soul really yearns, really longs, where the soul really belongs is to return to its creator, to its source, to Hashem. But man is given 70 or 80 years. And Hashem should help all of us reach 120. We need, and he points us, see the Avnineza, the Sachachar, the Sfasem, the Chayisara, the Lashon, the Yiratzon that we say before Tehillim. The great Gerer Rashiv is pointing us now to all these Maramakomos. He alludes to all these sources, look them up himself inside, that tell us that the reason that we have the lifetime that we do here on earth is so we can spend it filled with working on ourselves. We retire from our profession. We are never retired from life. Our job, how we make our money, our profession, that we retire from, and how wonderful it must be to have that conversation. When is the right time to retire? From a profession. But when you're tired from your profession, it's time to get to work on yourself. Really, we have to work on ourselves all throughout our lives, including while we have a profession. But many say, I don't have time. I'm so busy working for a living, I don't have time to work on myself. Where's your excuse when you stop working for a living? Now you can full-time be working on yourself. People sitting here who are like that. The next learning, the next goal, the next class, the next... Such people are inspiring and incredible. People who are retired from working for a living, who use that time to now work on themselves. We need to work on ourselves throughout our life. It takes a lifetime because we are constantly and regularly works in progress. But we have to be working on ourselves. Working on ourselves. And the same attitude and mentality we bring to work, which is ambition, drive. I hope, I think the healthiest way to be at work is not make enough, I do enough, I get enough, it is enough, but I want to challenge myself. We have an implementing EOS here at BRS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, which is something we've been working on for a little over a year. Fantastic, it's been game-changing, it's amazing. One of the principles of EOS is core values. What are your core values? What are the core values that drive the organization? Not the mission statement to others, but if you're a staff member, if you're working in that organization, what's the covenant, what's the commitment? Not aspirational who you want to be, but what are the core values? How do you behave? We have five core values. We have five. Own the outcome, strive for excellence, growth-oriented. We have five core values. But one of them is growth-oriented. If someone has a mentality and attitude that says, I am what I am. I don't need to learn. I don't want to learn AI. I don't want to challenge myself. I don't want to expand in that way. I don't want to grow. I do the job you asked me to do. I get it done. And the way it gets done, I'm good to go. You're good to go somewhere else because that's not our core value. Our core value is embrace. Our core value is growth oriented. Embrace challenges. Own outcome. This is our core value. To be growth oriented means I want to grow. Every year, I want to be able to measure what I did differently. One of the things we're doing now, this has nothing to do with Emunah, but I want to give it as an illustration. I've gotten very into and excited by AI. It's not giving my shiurim, it's not writing my drushas, and it's not writing my articles. But what it can do is, all of us in our professional and personal lives is identify anything a robot can do, and you should no longer be doing it. Anything that can be automated, any repetitive act, anything that was incredibly time-consuming, making spreadsheets and writing certain letters and correspondence and organizing certain financials and reconciling certain reports, anything that a robot can do, it should do, leaving us to do all the things that demand and require only us to do. That's true in our professional lives and our personal lives. So we turned to the whole staff and we said, everybody now has access to AI, whichever platform you want, you can choose. And everyone is now not only invited, but encouraged and rewarded to every day spend whatever amount of time playing with it. Figure out what that you're doing can be automated to free you up to be doing other things that no one but you could be doing. If you're growth oriented, you say, that sounds fantastic. I'm so excited by that. I didn't know that. I'll give you just an example. Believe it or not, we're 200 and something episodes into Behind the Bima, our little hobby on the side. I'd much rather people listen to Shiurim than it, even though I have fun with it. It's a little hobby on the side. We don't have a spreadsheet anywhere about how many episodes, who were the guests, did they have sponsorships, how long were they? Now, if I said that to you, do me a favor, one of my holy precious girls, young women. I said, do me a favor, this summer you're around, you're not doing anything, I'll even pay you a little bit for it. Could you go? It would take hours and hours and days and be so mindless, and who would want to do it? You go on AI and you say, here is the YouTube link for all the Buying the Bima. And here are the prompts. Make a spreadsheet that is this, that, and the other. In seconds, there was a spreadsheet with the whole thing done. And by the way, from now on, automatically, every time there's a new episode, add it to the spreadsheet. Done. You don't have to ever think about it again. It's unbelievable how much time it would have taken. My point to you is, when you have a growth attitude mindset, you say, that's fantastic. How can I learn it? How can I adapt it, adopt it? What can I do with it? That's what it means to be part of our community, staff, and family. And that's what the Gera Shiva is saying about life. It's not only true in the EOS at your work, it's true in the operating system of our lives. To never be fixed, but to always be growing. Carol Dweck's wonderful book, Growth Mindset. Two types of people, fixed mindset versus growth mindset. The Gera Shiva is talking about a growth mindset. The reason we live the length of the lives that we do is because there's always work to be done. We're always growing. Never can we say we've arrived, we're complacent, we're complete, we're done, we're finished. Check mark. It is what it is. And within that, a growth mindset, within that, I'm a work in progress. I'm working on myself now that I'm no longer working for a living. Though among the most important of priorities in the work that we have to do, and the work we do on ourselves, is the work in bitachon. Shinu tamidi alikari amuna bitachon. Liskor tamid amnam ani yosef mishtad lasas atov, aval liskor lo lishkoa basi hagashmis. Amuna bitachon, a person can never come and say, whether it's because they've been tested and they passed, or because life has been simple and straightforward, you know what, my amuna bitachon, I'm good. I know there's Hashem, I know He's involved in my life, I thank Him for everything, I give Him credit for everything, I'm good to go. No one can ever or should ever say, my emunah is complete, check, finished, done, good to go, whole. No. Every day, it doesn't matter who you are, the biggest gadol, the biggest tzaddik, the biggest, doesn't matter how you've been tested, what you've overcome, what you've navigated in your life, we are all constantly the avoda, the work, we are works in progress, to never, because we operate and live in this physical world, and we operate and live in a world in which our initiative, we think, so correlates with the outcome and results. That's the email that I didn't read. Among the emails I didn't read is this incredible email from somebody who had a year, a business, something he's been working on, sleepless nights, uncertainty, and he hasn't gotten one penny made from it. He can't believe it. A new enterprise, a new business, invested his all, worked nonstop, nothing. He had a breaking point. He was ready to walk away, ready to let it fold. And he got a text from his mother, who told him, you need to take turn 2 days off. Don't look at an email. Don't look at a text. Don't try to set up a meeting. Just talk to Hashem. Lean on Him. Talk to Him and tell Him that you know He is the result. He is everything. And this is what he says. I'm skipping to the end. Those next 2 days, says, the text was my sign. That moment I made a decision. I was going to buy into these next 2 days. No work, no strategy, no chasing. 100% trusting Hashem. Those next 2 days, unimaginable things happened. Doors opened that I had put little to zero effort into. New opportunities came through channels I had barely touched. And I want to be clear, I did absolutely nothing work-related on those 2 days. I didn't open my computer. I didn't send a single email. I didn't make a single call. I didn't think about strategy or clients or deals. Nothing. The only thing that changed was my mindset was me. Over a year of hard work with no results, empty calendar, zero meetings, the moment I let go completely, Hashem worked things out openly and miraculously. I'm not saying do zero hishtadlus. We have to do initiative and effort. A little is necessary. I understand it's a nuanced topic. But initiative has nothing to do with results. Hashem decides. What I learned is that when you truly shift in an emunah bitachon mindset, not just intellectually, really live it, something changes. Throughout this whole year, even in the darkest moments, I never stopped learning or doing hispodidus. Even when it was just a little, even when it was just a tiny bit, I held on and that was everything. To anyone out there who's struggling, he writes, please understand this was not a two-week process. This was over a year of struggle, pain, and uncertainty, but Hashem is the king. He makes every single moment of it worth it. Never give up. Talk to Him. He's real. He's listening. He's the king of the world. He loves us. He's infinite. Ein od milvado. Ein od milvado. And that was exactly his message. We do our initiative, and then we make the mistake. We do the initiative, and then we hold on. The holder we hold on. I told you the mushel before. In sports, the tighter you hold, doesn't matter what sport, the tennis racket, the bat, or the golf club. The tighter you hold it, the worse you perform with it. Drummer. My wife is a drummer. Another friend of mine, Jake Goldberg, once told me, the tighter you hold the drumsticks, the worse you play. Whether it's a musical instrument or in sports, the equipment, the tighter you hold on, the worse you do. And the looser you hold, you got to hold on. Can't let it go. You can't swing a golf club or bat or tennis racket. Can't play drums if you're not holding the sticks. You got to hold on. The looser you hold, the better perform, the better you play. And that's initiative in life. Don't hold on too tight. I'm in charge. I'm in control. It's up to me. What's going to be? I got to solve this. I got to fix this. I got to. Every executive type A personality, micromanaging. I've got to fix it. I've got to make it right. I got to control it. I'm responsible for the outcome of it. I get the credit for it. I'm the blame for it. I'm tight and tight and tight and tight. You know, if you play a sport, if you have blisters on your hands, you're doing something wrong. You're holding, you're gripping too tight. Your grip is off. And the first thing any good instructor will teach you is how to grip differently. Emunah and Hishtadlus is all about changing your grip. How do you change your grip? Hishtadlus initiative is how do you change your grip? Change the grip. I've got to do initiative. I've got to work. Right? This guy didn't say, I took 2 days off. I'm taking the rest of my life off. Now that's the answer. I'm done. Hashem is just going to send me money and reward and clients and all good things. It's not his conclusion. That's not the outcome. It's not what he says because it's not what you can say. We have to do initiative and we have to make effort. But we have to realize while we're doing it that we're holding lightly. Hold it loose and light because Hashem is the one who brings the reward. He brings the outcome. He did two. He spent an entire year of initiative over here, and the moment he was finally willing to let go or grip a little bit more loosely, Hashem brought the result from over here. He did the work over here. The result came from over here. Yeah, because Hashem sometimes reminds us that the result, the outcome, doesn't correlate with the effort. The effort we have to do, but the outcome doesn't necessarily correlate. And that, to know that, to live that, that's a lifetime of work. Says the Ger Rosh Hashiva. That doesn't happen in a day. You can't walk out here today and go, oh, great Emunah Shiur today. Today was great. He talked about EOS and growth-oriented and AI and tennis rackets and I don't even remember anymore what else we talked about. Wow, that was a good one. And by the way, I'm good to go now. Check, Emunah, I have it. I'm going to grip a little bit more loosely. I changed my grip because of the Shiur. I'm good to go. No, I'm not just saying that so you come back to the next Shiur. I'm saying that because all of us need to come back. It is a lifetime of work. We are all works in progress in this area. To remember, like the Kutzker Rebbe said in Tillim, means kapecha is your hand, palm of your hand. When the effort of the palm of your hand, you'll eat ashrecha. Blessed, fortunate are you. The tovlach, it's good for you. So the Kutzker Rebbe pointed out that it's with your hand. Our initiative is with our hands, not with our head. In our head, we have to know emunah. Initiative is with hands, while emunah bitachon are with the head. Then ashrecha b'olam hazeh, tovlach b'olam haba. Then it's good for us in both worlds. Rak yadayim shli osos, v'ulay gam haseichah shli osos, v'alo ani ba'atzmi, haneshama shali, hineni yodeh she'eini shach b'chlal olam hazeh. I have to know that my hands are doing the initiative. I have to type the emails. I have to make the phone calls. My body has to take the initiative. But in my head, I know it's all up to him. It's all up to him. That's why yigia kapecha. Your hands are the place of the hard work. In your head, that's where you let go and let God. That's where you know it's all up to him. That's your hands, you're doing the work. In your head is where you're having the faith. And it's not the ani, it's not me, it's not I. There's no sense of self. Hashem is in charge and control. He's running this world. The fact that my hands have to do the work, I'm still paying the price for our ancestor. Adam Arishon ate that from Eitzah. He ate from that Eitzah Das. Why do you have to eat from that tree? He ate from that tree, and the punishment was we work with the sweat of our brow, and ever since then, that's my punishment. But not really because the outcome correlates with my effort. Just because that's the punishment. So translating, what the Yerush is saying is that this doesn't happen overnight. doesn't happen a day, a month, or a year, or a decade. To really live this, imbibe this, experience this, see the world through this, is a lifetime, lifetime, lifetime of work. To know, because every day we take initiative, every day we make effort, and therefore every day we fall prey to the confusion that the outcome and the results are because of us. To know and to live and to realize, I have to take my initiative, my effort, like the writer of that amazing email. I've got to do it. My hands. But in my head, I have to know all along at the same time that the outcome is up to him and he has a plan and our best is yet to come and we're never done. So Mitzvah Hashem, this is a time of year. I see we have some new faces who ordinarily are working during this time and can't come on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. And you're using your time off to come here, which is exactly what the Ger Hashiva is saying. While you're not working, it's time to get to work. While you're not working in your profession, it's time to get to work on yourself. What a great way to spend. Just happens to be, we're taking off next week, so you're gonna have to work on yourself in another way. There's so many amazing resources. Read, learn, listen to our previous shiurim or countless others who are far better. Find what will work for you, and Amir Tzashem will resume and be back together in 2 weeks from now. As always, please stay. Please have a donut in memory of Chaim. And please stay to say Tehillim. Our member is having surgery right now. Mr. Hashem, we should hear a good outcome. We should share and hear only Besoros Tovos, Yeshuos, Venechamos.